You're listening to The Christian Book Show. Real authors, real discussions, real issues. Books are about ideas. As believers, our ideas ought to be better. Our stories more compelling. We're here to spread ideas that lead to life. Our Savior made the religious establishment nervous and gave hope to the common people. We're here to do the same. Christian authors, leaders, and influencers share their message. Let's talk to the author.
Hi, folks. Welcome to this edition of The Christian Book Show. Today I've got Deborah Curry with us, and Deborah is the author of Lifted from the Dust, A Journey of Faith, Forgiveness, and Healing. Deborah is a native of Louisiana. She has a bachelor's degree in nursing from Northwestern State University. She's earned a master's degree in nursing from Clayton State University in Georgia, and her thesis was actually focused on workplace bullying among African-American nurses. So Deborah, even though she's, and we'll see this in the interview, even though she's got a medical background, she always has a social background. She always has a background about caring for people where they are in the workplace and in their lives. She's had a 27-year nursing career. She's lived out her passion serving and helping others. And we'll talk about this in the interview, but she's the founder of a foundation called Robbed with Kindness. It's a nonprofit organization that deals with promoting random acts of kindness in communities. She's got five children, five grandchildren. She believes that God has given us each the power to make a difference, and she certainly has. She's a member of Healthcare Business Women's Association, Sigma Theta Tau, Delta Sigma Theta. And Deborah, how did I do on those sororities? Did I, or those Greek societies? Did I do pretty good on the pronunciation?
Yes, they're fine.
Oh, good.
I'm now at my 28th year with my nursing career, just to be accurate.
So what you're saying is these bios, we have to keep updating these bios every year, or else it's not relevant.
Yes.
Let me say a little bit about your story to, as kind of an introduction, and then we'll just let you take it from there. Deborah was born in a small southern town. When she was just 10 years old, her mother died suddenly. And her older sister, Gladys, was left to take care of her and her siblings. And later through this, Deborah was taken in by a school teacher that kind of claimed to put her under his wing and actually called himself her godfather. And he sexually abused her. And she got pregnant at 14 years. And she knew it was wrong, but she was afraid, and she hid her pregnancy, you know, until she showed so much that her family found out. That was one of the first things she overcame. She overcame her mother's death. She overcame the sexual abuse. She has a life of being faced with tragedy, being faced with very hard circumstances and overcoming. And one thing, Deborah, in your book and the title of your book, one thing I noticed afterwards is the term overcoming kept coming to us as you were building your book and as this book was being made. And the subtitle is A Journey of Faith, Forgiveness, and Healing. And when I think about that, and I think about overcoming, that really should be the definition of overcoming. In my mind, overcoming is a journey of faith, forgiveness, and healing. Does that make sense to you, Deborah?
It does make sense. And you're right, Steve. We wrestled with overcoming. I felt so strong and passionate about that word, and I felt that it was different from just surviving a trial or a tragedy, because many people survive those tragedies. But what happens after those tragedies? How are they? Are they still broken? Are they still walking around with a wounded heart? Well, those questions are significant, but for me, I not only survived the tragic events in my life, I am thriving now, Steve. And so that's a form of overcoming for me, to be able to be at a point where I can stand upright and stand erect, and I can have so much joy in serving God. And believe it or not, Steve, having the ability, the desire to even forgive those who caused the pain and suffering that I experienced.
When I read your story, you know, you just want to weep because you see this poor girl growing up with it just seems like one thing after another hitting, one tragedy after another. And one thing I saw in that story is a picture in my mind is this tragedy and this devastation. And then somehow out of that, this little flower sprouts out. And to me, throughout the stories, because your book is a kind of a series of stories about your life, and you know, chronologically. And after these tragedies, you just want to weep because of the tragedy. But then after that, after the devastation, in the story, it's like a flower pops out, and you think, how can that be? How can that resilience be? And to me, that's that concept of overcoming in a really, really practical situation. I don't know if that picture is vivid in the listeners' minds, but to me, to see that devastation, then just see, you know, surprise of surprises, this flower pops out of it. And to me, that flower represents your ability to overcome these things that come on you. And you kind of overcame them one by one, didn't you?
Well, I did. And oftentimes there were remnants. I call them remnants of the veils of darkness that hovered over me. But there came a time when all the heartbreak, all the suffering, all the pain, it just went away, Steve. And that's why I named the book Lifted from the Dust. Typically, when you think of a scripture in the Bible, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Those situations caused me to feel so low that I felt that it was time to return to the dust. But God says something different, Steve. He saved me. He lifted me from the dust of all of my experiences. And Steve, that's why I'm alive today. He saved me. And when he saved me, Steve, I was just so happy and amazed that I just wanted to tell the world. I had to tell as many people as I possibly could exactly what God had done for me. Because what I said is, I know there are more people like me out there, and I know that they need God just like I needed him. And if he saved me, I know he can save them.
Wow.
And that's how I came up with Lifted from the Dust.
Wow. What in your life, what was that thing that made that final turning point of saying, just, you know what, I can release all of this and I can just let all of this go? What event was that finally provided that release for all these things that have happened in your life?
That's a good question, Steve. One of the things that I went through, and I describe this in the book, and I've often told people, the most tragic thing that happened in my life was the murder of my 21-year-old son, Robert. Now, any parent can imagine how devastating that was. And Steve, I just reached a point where I was in so much agony emotionally and physically, I just wanted to die. And I remember the time, I remember the day as if it was yesterday, Steve. I planned how I was going to die. I planned where it's going to happen, what time it was going to happen, how I was going to do it. I planned it all. But there was something that was unsettling to me because I knew God. I had a relationship with him. I knew that taking my life was a part of his will. So Steve, I prayed to God because I needed help. And I remember leaving my place of business. I went to a doctor's office and I said to my doctor, if you don't help me today, I will not be here tomorrow. And Steve, what she did in that moment allowed me to see God's love and his desire to save me. She asked me if I was a believer. I said yes. She asked if she could pray with me. I said yes. That was my sign that God was still with me and that the desires that I had to end my life were not part of his plan.
Wow.
That was one of my first turning points. I knew that I had to reach deeper and find God because in my depression and my darkness and losing my son, I lost everything. I didn't pray as much as I used to. I didn't go places. I didn't do as much as I normally would. But most importantly, I didn't draw closer to God. That took me away from him. but it was time to get back.
Going back, Deborah, in this story, you just see an innocent girl, and you see how you've just tried to live your life and make the best of your life, and you see that these things have happened to you. Before this turning point happened, did you have times when you looked at yourself and said, is this me? Is it because I'm bad? Is it, you know, is this my fault? I mean, because I can imagine what victims must go through in their minds and in their emotions when things happen or when people do things to them. Sometimes they turn on themselves and say, you know, is this me? Is this my fault? Did this happen? Am I to blame for this? Did that ever happen to you? Did you have to deal with the idea that, well, maybe it's because I'm bad that this happened to me?
Of course. I had a lot of negative feelings and emotions that I dealt with on a constant basis. In fact, more so with the sexual abuse from my godfather and being pregnant. For me, I was in turmoil because my upbringing, we were told and taught that God loves you and that God will help you through anything. But in my mind, I thought, well, if God loves me so much, why did he let all of this happen to me?
Yeah.
I'm a good person. So why me? Why did this have to happen to me? And I couldn't understand that. I was confused and I needed answers so badly. Years would pass by before I got the true answer to that question. But before then, Steve, I was angry. I was angry at God, even though I loved him. I was angry at my godfather. I was angry that my mother left me because she died from a stroke in front of me. I was just an angry child and just couldn't understand why. Why me? Why my family?
When people think of an idea like forgiveness, and, you know, there's a difference between the idea of forgiveness in our minds. Oh, you know, we need to forgive each other. Oh, we need to forgive, you know, dear Lord, you know, forgive my sins as I forgive those who sinned against us. There's a difference between that mental accepting of that concept and the idea, the reality of having a life-wrenching experience, whether it was your godfather or whether it was the death of your son, and then having to deal with forgiveness on that level of reality. You did something. I want you to talk a little bit about the trial after your son was murdered, and what you had to go through as far as forgiveness. Because when I look at your life and I look at the forgiveness you've been through, that's the kind of forgiveness that doesn't come from human strength. That kind of forgiveness has to be derived from somewhere else.
You are so correct, Steve. The forgiveness that was extended came from God. God changed my heart to the point where the young lady that murdered my son, I started to feel empathy for her. But before I could even get to that point, Steve, there were some things that I had to go through. Because when the murder first occurred, I was angry. I just couldn't understand why this girl took my son. And I wanted eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I wanted the same thing to happen to her. But that hatred, that resentment and hatred, it infested all of me to where I could barely function physically or emotionally. I had to let go of all the things that were causing me this physical and emotional pain. And so, Steve, I remember praying to God, praying and asking him to change my heart. I didn't want to live with resentment. I didn't want to live with hating another human being who belonged to God. And then I started to think about all the times that God had forgiven me. And I thought about a scripture that focused on the fact that God forgives us and we are under obligation to forgive others. And with that in mind, Steve, that was it for me. That was it. I immediately started to feel the difference in my heart. And as time went on, that empathy and that forgiveness just extended even more. It was so beautiful. In fact, all of this happened before my son's trial, because with my son's trial, it took about 2.5 years for the trial to occur. So by that time, God had worked on me. So when I got up in the courtroom and presented my victim's impact statement, what I said to her is that I forgive her. I told her that I look forward to her rising above this situation, because she would. I believe that she would. I believe that if she had to do it all over again, she would not have killed my son. I told her I forgive her because that's what God expects for me to do. And I told her when she gets out, I'm looking forward to working with her, because we have to work together to make sure this doesn't happen to anyone else. And I meant that, Steve.
I want to put a placeholder there, because I want to talk about what's happened since then and how this has turned into such a positive. But before I do that, I want to say something about the back of the book. This book is a narrative. It's almost an autobiography of your life, but it's really a narrative of your life, and we learn the lessons from that narrative. But in the back of the book, you've put in an afterword called Lessons Learned. And what you did for readers after the story, after they were emotionally connected with your story and your life, you condense all that down. You condense that life of lessons down into those lessons learned, and you give us some really important advice in the form of these little gems. So after we've already bought in to your story and your life, and we already feel like we've come to know you, then you give us this teaching that you can take with you every day. For instance, about the personal childhood tragedy, one of your gems, one of your lessons learned is speak up and stop suffering in silence, and stop living behind the shadows of shame and guilt. Seek professional help or spiritual help. Transition from the mindset of a victim from mindset victim to victim survivor, and move toward the practice of forgiveness. In your marriage and children, because we didn't talk about this, but you went through a pretty long and loveless marriage and to an unfaithful husband. And here's the one that it really, to me, just sticks as something every married person knows or should know. And it's one person cannot save a marriage. So what you've done is you've not only told us your life, you've shown us by your life as kind of an analogy of how to overcome, how to have faith and forgive and heal. But you've also given it to us in these little nuggets that you can just take with you every day. And to me, that's something that the reader should really, really appreciate, is know your story, know you, and then I can walk away with these few profound lessons that I can just kind of bring back to me and, you know, just look in the back of the book sometime when I'm having trouble, or look in the back of the book when there's a tragedy strikes, and you can just get these little, like, gems, like diamonds of advice from Deborah Curry. And that's something I really appreciated about the book.
Well, thank you, Steve. I felt that I needed to do that, because I think in all of our experiences, there are lessons to be learned. And oftentimes we may not learn those lessons or accept those lessons, but experience doesn't have to be our best teacher. We can learn from the mistakes and experiences of other people so that we won't have to go through the same thing. So I thought it was important to make sure that when people look at my life, they can see some of the things that I've done, some of the decisions that I made, and hopefully they could apply that forward to their lives and save themselves from some of the despair and hopelessness they might find themselves in, or situations they may find themselves in.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Thank you for that. Your son, Rob, is murdered. And out of that tragedy, you God allows you this grace of forgiveness. But the forgiveness and the healing aren't the end of it. You've turned that around. Tell us about the foundation. Tell us about Rob with Kindness, what it does, and how it affects people, how this rises from that tragedy and kind of memorializes Rob's life and what you do with Rob with Kindness.
Exactly. Rob with Kindness was a vehicle for me to heal. It allowed me to remember my son and to do something that I was very passionate about, and that's serving others. A lot of people may not have known Robert, but I wanted to show them who he was. I took one of his greatest assets, one of his greatest qualities, which was kindness, and I fused that with his name. And that's how I came up with Rob with Kindness. And what I wanted to do is to leave a legacy. I wanted to make sure that I turned something tragic into something positive. And that positive would be paid forward by helping other people. And that's exactly what Rob with Kindness is. It's a nonprofit organization at the state level. And it really focuses on performing acts of kindness to others and bringing awareness to the issue of violence in our communities. I really feel that violence is an issue. Many people have become desensitized to violence, but I want to make sure that they are aware of it and what happened to my son, and make sure that I'm giving each person a piece of Robert as I am kind to them.
Wow. What a wonderful tribute to him. Speaking of tributes to Robert, I saw a video, and I think skydiving is something you promised you and Robert would do together. And the folks at the skydiving place were nice enough to video the whole thing and put together an amazing story. Now, there were two people, there were lots of people on this jump, but there were two people I recognized on this jump, and one was you, and the other was your son, Josiah. Now, you kind of looked like you had just gotten out of paratrooper school. It was like, it was all fun and games to you. You know, it was like taking a shopping cart down the mall. But Josiah wasn't overly excited about this whole thing.
He was scared to death, Steve.
He looked like one nervous dude.
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Steve.
He looked like one nervous dude. He was, because the video, of course, shows with you on the ground. It shows you getting into the plane. It shows the entire story, and you're just laughing it up. You're just, you know, you don't have a care in the world. But Josiah looked like he was having a rough time, and he looked, the best I saw him look was when he got back on the ground again.
Yes, Steve, I could look calm because I had a mission to fulfill. This was about Robert and I and what we decided that we wanted to do together. And just because he wasn't there didn't mean that I didn't need to go forward. So that was me going forward. And it didn't matter what was going on around me, including the scares and the frightening things that happened with Julius. And so Julius, he made it through, Steve, all in one piece. And it's funny now because he's ready to do it again.
Oh, my God.
But
goodness.
I've had my feel. I did it. I know what it feels like. And I am done.
Well, he gets an A for citizenship. I tell you that right now. He does. Okay, tell us about what Deborah Curry is doing today. You've been doing a lot of book signings. You just told me before the interview that you're invited to speak. Tell us a little bit about that, and then tell us how the listeners now can get a hold of you. We'll have all this in the show notes, but I want you to tell them, this is where I am, this is what I'm doing, and this is where to get a hold of me.
First, I wanted to tell you a little bit more about Rob with Kindness. I wanted to take it to another level. Typically, we have an annual celebration where we go out into the community and we rob people with kindness. We would buy food for them, we would buy medication, or we would buy gas, or some other things that people needed. This year, 2016, I wanted to expand Rob with Kindness a little bit further in the spirit of Kind Acts 365. And so what I chose to do is every quarter, volunteers and I would be involved in helping different people in the community. For example, in January, we helped battered women and their children take care of some of the needs that they had. In the second quarter, the end of the second quarter, we're going into nursing homes to help the elderly because we feel like most of them may be forgotten or their family members may not be around. We want to stand in the gap. And we're also looking to partner with Hosea Feed the Hungry program. We want to make sure that people are not hungry and they don't have to be. We're in talks with people and various schools in DeKalb County because we want to make sure no children are ever hungry and to see what we can do for that particular situation. And with Rob with Kindness, it extends not only to Georgia, but in different parts of the world. In fact, I have an event that's being hosted by one of my friends where she's taking an entire Vacation Bible School group, and they have practices of acts of kindness that they will be doing for each other and for their teachers and for people in the community. So that legacy continues to live. Of course, I've been busy with Lift It From the Dust and promoting it because I want everybody to know this one key point. And if you hear me out there, listeners, please hear this and understand it, that it doesn't matter what you go through or how bad your tragedy is, God can deliver you through it. He can lift you from the dust of any of your sufferings. I want people to know that. So I've had several book signings. They have been very successful, and I am so grateful to God for it. But I'm getting ready to go to Louisiana for more book tours. People in my hometown, which is in Winfield, Louisiana, and Winfield, Louisiana is about 4 hours north of New Orleans. And so they wanted me to come down and show love and kindness because they're so proud of me. But I will be doing some book signings. And Steve, I'm so excited about this as well. I have been invited to deliver a keynote address. And not only that, Steve, hold on. I have been invited. Well, let me say this. The chair of the program, when she heard about Lift It From the Dust, decided to revamp her program. And guess what the theme of her program is?
I can guess.
Lift It From the Dust. With me delivering the keynote address. I'm so honored. I'm so grateful. I just want to get the message of God out to others, and I want to inspire hope in them, and again, to believe and know and trust that no matter what they go through, God can lift them up.
Wow, wonderful. Tell us how listeners can get a hold of you, keep up with your schedule. How do they keep up with your content, what you do, Deborah? And most importantly, before we do that, how do they learn more about Rob with Kindness? And then let's talk about your website and your place out on the internet.
Well, I have a Rob with Kindness Facebook page. I also have a website that talks more about Rob with Kindness. And I'll give that to you in just a moment. Regarding the book, I have different ways for people to contact me. I'm actually on Facebook under Deborah Mattox Curry, Mattox, Curry, Curry. My email address is deborahcurry@liftedfromthedust.com. And in alignment with that, the website is liftedfromthedust.com as well.
And we'll have Deborah's contact information, the addresses to her Facebook and to her website. We'll have that right here on the show notes where you listen to the interview. So we'll have all that for Deborah. And Deborah, how do they find out about Rob with Kindness?
They can learn about Rob with Kindness at www.robwithkindness.org.
And
so robwithkindness.org.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your story in your book, Deborah. And thank you for sharing it with the listeners here. It's a story that anyone that has to deal with faith and forgiveness and healing needs to read, needs to be a part of, and needs to come out a different person after they read the book and hear your story.
Thank you, Steve. I'm honored that you would interview me, and I'm honored that you were my publisher. I got a chance to work with some great people during this process, so I just want to say thank you.
Well, hey, it's an honor, believe me, as a publisher and an interviewer, to have a really good author and a really good interviewee. So believe me, that honor is mutual. Thank you so much, Deborah.
You're welcome, Steve.
You've been listening to The Christian Book Show. To learn more about the author and the book featured in this interview, visit christianbookshow.com. No spaces, no dashes. That's christianbookshow.com for show notes on this interview. And be sure to subscribe so you won't miss the next interview.